My name is Anna, and I always feel blessed to share my story of grace. Since I first confessed to the ladies in my group, I continue to be amazed by God's love and faithfulness to me. I've learned that it is not the things I have victory over that are most important, but the things I am pursuing victory in. I am so thankful that God does not leave me alone in the areas I want to hold on to. Instead, he nudges me forward to become more like Christ. So tonight, I want to tell you about God's faithfulness, his relentless love for me, and his unbelievable patience with me as I stumble through life. He has continued to mold me into the woman I was meant to be and continues to guide me back on track each time I get off. He has shown me how living an authentic life can transform you and the amazing freedom and joy that it brings. I grew up in church, but my view of God was one that required me to be perfect. My salvation was based on my abilities and good deeds. Although I realized my need for God at the age of 10, my salvation required much works. It was not a free gift, as in Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is a gift of God. In my teens, I walked away from God. I felt incapable of pleasing him. I gave in to the temptation and peer pressure and started doing what I wanted until close to the end of my high school years. God continued to draw me back to him and brought other Christians into my life. It was at that time I met the man I would marry. I was following Christ, but was young and not ready for a relationship. My spiritual immaturity was apparent in my relationship, and for me to feel accepted and loved by him, I felt I needed a physical relationship. I don't know why, and I don't know how, I've always seemed to be able to justify this sin in my life. I always told myself I was not hurting anyone. I thought if I was not committing adultery, and we were two consenting adults, what was the big deal? We married a year later, and very shortly after my 18th birthday. We were both Christians, active in our church, and involved in every way we could find, but no one knew of our sin. Our marriage of 14 years was, for the most part, a good one. We had two beautiful children, and we continued to serve in our church. The demise of our marriage was received with surprise by all. I don't know that I was as surprised as everyone else. I was surprised more that my husband was not who he said he was, but really neither was I. Don't get me wrong. I loved God and I was growing in him, and I would not have survived the breakup of my marriage had I not discovered God's loving grace for me and that works were not what saved me, but it was Christ's finished work on the cross alone that saved me. However, on the outside, I strive to portray a perfect mother and a perfect Christian. I'm thankful that I discovered divorce care after the divorce, for it allowed me to process so many things I was feeling. Unfortunately, my plan was to process everything quickly and as quickly as possible and get on with my life. I did deal with my divorce, but it was not just my divorce I needed healing for. I was still a walking, wounded child, and once the healing from my divorce began, I thought I was somehow had gotten myself to where I was and gave God little credit. I forgot that it was God who carried me through all of it, that he loved me, provided for me and my children, and placed me in a church with loving people. By now, I knew that sex outside of marriage was not God's best for me. With that, I knew that sin was not called sin because it was something that God just put there so that he could control me. The things that God calls sin are actually an offense against him and detrimental to me and often to those around me, but sometimes we still choose sin. After being divorced a year and a half and doing everything right, I jumped into a relationship. It did not take me long to fall back into the same sin and justifying it by saying that I'm not hurting anyone else. So why should this be so bad? Sadly, I was using God's infinite grace as a license to continue sinning. Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Again in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. And in verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Thankfully, God still loves me, even though I took advantage of the grace he so freely gives. I became that Sunday Christian, the one that goes to church, and during the week I looked no different than everyone else. I know now that God has forgiven me, but I still struggle sometimes knowing the missed opportunity I had to share God's love and saving grace with people that came into my life during those years. That relationship was on and off for 7 years, and then went on for several months after he married. The only thing that brought it to an end was me meeting someone, and then 2 years later in 2005, we married. When that marriage ended in 2009, I got back in touch with him, and the relationship went on for over a year again. I justified something that seemed to not hurt anyone, and in the end, it became something much worse than I thought I was capable of doing. Sin is like that. It takes on a life of its own, and it steals, kills, and destroys. At the time of my second divorce, I had not been to church in almost 5 years. I have a tendency to hide myself away. One of my favorite authors wrote a book, and in one of the stories he wrote, hide and seek, grown-up style, wanting to hide, needing to be sought, confused about being found. This is me. I am always playing hide and seek, grown-up style. Not going to church was my way of hiding from other believers because the masquerade had become too exhausting. In 2010, my daughter and her family were here in Dallas visiting for a month and wanted to attend church during the stay. The church they found was Watermark, and we went together the month of October. I cried through every service as I was convicted of my sin, and God freshly showed me his love. I kept going once they left, and shortly after went to Connecting Point. It was during Connecting Point that I made the decision to end the sinful relationship, repent, and turn and recommit my life to Christ. I started serving in divorce care the following February, and while helping out, I was able to fully accept God's forgiveness for the mistakes I made after my divorce. Unfortunately, when I started dating again the following May, it was apparent that my ability to stay pure was not there yet, and that I was going to continue to repeat my old patterns, so I quickly ended that relationship. That fall, when divorce care started up again, I started that session committing to no dating with everyone else. Now, almost 4 years later, I'm still not dating. Choosing to not date started out because I did not trust my own ability to live a pure life and to follow Christ and all the Bible teaches. I can no longer ignore or twist things to suit me and my own desires. After the first year of no dating, I realized that my desire for sex had actually not changed. When I look back on the first year, it's obvious that I had been happier, more at peace, and had grown more spiritually than I had in many years. I learned that God was enough, that nothing in this world matters above knowing him and growing in him. I learned that sometimes you need to have something in your life that helps you to remain committed to doing what is right. Divorce care was that for me. Accountability is a powerful thing, but I needed to not just silently stay committed to what was being asked of me as a leader and follower of Christ. I needed to share my struggle with the ladies in my community group who are committed to me and my walk in Christ. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I've often wondered what about this scripture. Why do we need to confess our sins to each other? Isn't confessing God enough? God began to show me that my silence was allowing sin to maintain its hold on me. Because if no one knew of my struggle, no one would know if I failed. I realize that God wants us to confess our sins because doing this helps remove the power the sin has over us. It's the biblical principle of bringing what is dark into the light. It is out there in the open now, and my friends ask me how I'm doing with my walk in purity. I never could hide from God, and now I'm learning to trust and not hide from His people. So can we live a sexually pure life? Yes, but not apart from God and not apart from other people following hard after Christ. God desires that we know Him, and He will never let go of us either. Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My journey to live a pure single life started with a desire to please God because of what He has done for me, but I expected to do it alone. God, in His wondrous love and mercy, pushed me to confess my failures to others so that I did not have to do it alone. It started in a Bible study one summer and continues today through the love and care of my community group. He does not want me to do this alone, and He continues to keep me on a path of authenticity. I joke sometimes that I am here to show people what not to do. But maybe I'm here to show others what lengths God will go to so that we might know life in Him, get to know and trust Him in all the areas of your life. Let Him write your story as He writes mine. Thank you.